You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we made it to a Friday. I had the under. Final hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll head to Augusta. Scott Van Pelt and Reese Davis from the Mothership set to join us in the final hour. Colts handled the Tennessee Titans last night, 34-17. It's an interesting weekend in the NFL and college football. Not a great weekend, but an interesting weekend that got just a little more interesting as I just got this note from our friend Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. A Browns player has tested positive for COVID-19, and the team facility is closed this morning. They have a game at home Sunday against the Texans. The Browns have not yet determined if they could conduct a practice for Sunday's game against the Texans. The identity of the player has not been released. More players or staffers could end up on the COVID-19 reserve list if they came in close contact with the players. You had Baker Mayfield, who was in a COVID protocol. The player who tested positive is not expected to be able to play in Sunday's game because the team has established through multiple positive tests that this isn't a false positive. College football, certainly in the SEC, overwhelmed with COVID and games that were postponed as opposed to being canceled like Ohio State and Maryland. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. This program is brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes-AMG. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance? Visit mbusa.com/AMG. Find out if a Mercedes-AMG coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Mercedes-AMG. Driving performance. McLovin, what's the poll question we're going with in the final hour?
Well, I want to do mustard versus mayonnaise because that was the big top of the hour debate.
Yeah, but that was just us out in the kitchen because we're getting ready for French dip.
But there are so many people who have an issue with mayonnaise. I don't get it.
I'm bored by mayonnaise. I have no interest in mayonnaise. Yes, Paulie.
I think that McLovin is a mayo guy, and yeah. I think he's going to die on this hill, and I think he's going to get slaughtered if he tries to put mustard up against mayonnaise on a national platform. No offense.
You throw some horseradish in with the mustard, ball game. Yeah, it's over. It's over, Johnny. And you know it. And you know it, McLovin. You know it. Care to respond?
I'm going to have to put up the poll and see if I can engineer the back-end results to be my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm putting up right now.
You have manipulated the results before the poll question. French dip is coming off the Traeger grill, and it'll be served coming up in about 45 minutes. Of course, that's a smooth segue to Scott Van Pelt, host of SportsCenter. And you went in on this, Van Peasy? You want mustard or mayo?
I'm going to order off the menu and just get some ranch and call it a day.
Some chicken fingers and ranch dressing?
Bang. How about that? I'm team mayo, though. This mayo slander is an amazing national sort of thing that people are anti. It's life simple, Dan. You know this. You know this well. Eat what you like to eat. Don't eat what you don't like to eat. The end.
What are you eating down in Augusta?
I just had a chicken sandwich with Curtis Strange, and it was just spectacular. What I'm trying to figure out right now, Dan, is like it's the old adage: one is too many, and 10 isn't enough. I don't know what the sweet spot is here because we're going back on the air here in a couple of hours, and I'm afraid if I eat another two or three, that I may be slumbering in the Butler cabin, which is not a good look.
What was your big takeaway from yesterday?
Just that the golf course was absolutely as gettable as it will ever be. The conditions were the rain. It was the perfect setup for these players because the rain comes through, then it leaves. It's soft, and they just annihilated it. And it wasn't that someone shot 62. It's how many guys shot 68 to 65. Including Bernhard Langer, who's 63 years old. I mean, it was an amazing display of scoring. And what that essentially did was kept, I don't know, 30 guys in it. I mean, if you were like Rory McIlroy, was just such a jarring thing to see him play as poorly as he did, considering that basically every other top player in the world was red.
But I'm curious about Bryson DeChambeau and how other players think of him? You know, Patrick Reed, we kind of know how they feel about Patrick Reed, but is Bryson DeChambeau polarizing the person or the player?
I think so, because I know what they roll their eyes about is this sort of, you know, suggestion that, you know, he's got, it's like this math equation to be figured out, you know, and even when he talked to Rinaldi after the round yesterday, it was like, yeah, it was a 47%, like, it was a 3-degree, and like, what are you even talking about, man? Like, speak English. I mean, you're talking in math equations that the rest of us mortals don't grasp, and I'll tell you the fatigue, that the, like, let me make one thing clear. They all respect the hell out of his game, and they know he's a problem, okay? I mean, he was an amateur champion and an NCAA champion, and they thought he was going to be good to begin with. And then he gains all this muscle, and he starts hitting the ball, you know, 30 yards beyond anybody else. But the fatigue is, all right, what are we doing? Like, I get Tiger being the topic when he shows up. He won 15 of these things. All right, the guy won one, and now he's the only thing that anyone can talk about? Like, that's kind of their reaction. And if you're going to ask Dustin Johnson about someone else, he's just going to look at you like, I mean, I'm not really that interested in him as a topic. So I think just the amount, the tonnage of conversation about him is what pushes guys back a bit.
But we also had that with Tiger, where I knew that there was Tiger fatigue when I was talking to a player who had won a major, and he started the conversation by saying, give me your Tiger questions now. Let's get them out of the way. I don't know if that's the feeling you're getting or we're going to get.
Yes.
With Bryson.
Yes, I think you've already gotten that. And again, with Tiger, it was because he won, you know, so many so fast. And, you know, in Bryson's case, it's he won the most recent one. And all credit to him. He was, you know, remarkable at Wingfoot. None of what I'm saying is minimizing what he is or, you know, attempting to. It's simply trying to frame it as what it is. It's one, and people think there'll be more, and there might be. But this is kind of what we do with anything now. We've gotten to the point where, and you know, with LeBron, if you win a title, does this mean that he's the same as Jordan? Well, I mean, I can count, you know, and I'm not counting to as many now that we can count other things too, right? I just think it's like dog years now. One equals seven somehow. And that's, we need to be capable of talking about more than one thing.
I was listening to Golf Channel live at the Masters last night following the round. Justin Leonard was on, and I thought he brought up a great analogy for Tiger. Tiger used to be Nolan Ryan. He would just blow people away. There was nobody like him. He was this phenomenon. Yep. And now he's more like Greg Maddux, that he has to kind of outthink you and massage a golf course a little bit more. And I thought it was a really thought out, because for Tiger, he sort of did that yesterday. He's not going to overpower a golf course, and he might not reach the par fives in two. But the thinking man, Tiger, is equally as dangerous, and I think that's what stood out to me yesterday.
Yeah, that's what Justin said. That's phenomenal, because it's I feel like it's really accurate. You know, there was a time there around 2000 Pebble Beach where he was throwing at 110, you know, and no one could sniff it. And now, and last year, I mean, but he didn't. It wasn't that he had a gear no one else had. Last year, he won kind of the way Jack won in '86. You know, people, we get nostalgic and think about what Jack did, and it was tremendous. But we don't always acknowledge the role that Seve washing one on 15 and Greg making a number of mistakes down the line helped give him that. You know, it was earned, but there was help. Well, the same thing happened with Tiger last year. Just his presence alone was enough to kind of jam up everybody else's radar. And so Tiger can't throw 105. But he can beat you throwing 90. And that's, I love the analogy because it makes sense. And especially here, Dan, as you know, you're familiar with this place. There's a lot of understanding what you need to do. And he, better than anyone else, other than maybe Phil, he understands what was being asked of him. And he had the answers on Thursday. He was really good. He didn't do anything bad. And, you know, right there in the mix.
Scott Van Pelt, host of SportsCenter with SVP, joining us from Augusta. He's got hosting duties down there. Without patrons there, that's a big advantage for someone like Tiger. Like, they want to be part of this story there. Or is it? you know, is that a big advantage when you're playing with Tiger and that crowd, whatever Tiger does, it feels like those roars, and you know this, you could hear a roar and go, oh, okay, that's not Tiger. Oh, you hear a roar and you go, oh, that's for Tiger. You know, it's just that cacophony of sound that stands out, and I don't know what that would do or, you know, has done to these guys, these fellow competitors there at Augusta when they're with Tiger.
You're 100% right about that. You know who it is, you know where it is, and you know what it was immediately. Like, you hear a certain roar, and you're like, oh, bleep, that was Tiger. He's on 13. He made eagle. And in a weird way, you're not getting intel, right? You're not getting the feedback that you would otherwise get from the golf course. I know that to a man, those the people who have played here a number of years, they all miss it, because they all felt like they had an energy that was provided to them that they fed off of. And now it's like you've heard guys in the NFL and other sports say, you got to bring your own energy. You got to bring your own juice.
Yeah.
So the guys I think it would really favor are any of these young guys, a Wolf, a Morikawa, anyone who's never played here. They got nothing to compare it to. And so the number of the players that I asked initially, I'm like, what do you think? And they're all like, God, it's so weird. It's so eerie being out here in a place that's typically filled with tens of thousands of people, and now it's just crickets. So I think it's an advantage to anybody that doesn't know what it otherwise feels like.
Yeah, it feels like that we get to be a voyeur with a practice round. I mean, that's really just the feeling I get. A serious question, as you've come to expect with this program. Paulie, do you want to offer this up to Van Pelt?
Scott, we're watching the coverage all day yesterday. Great job, as always. But we're noticing a lot more earth tones, browns, greens, grays, less white pants. Is that because of the time of year?
I don't know, but I thought yesterday was a triple bogey day from the golf manufacturing community. I thought, like, just it was horrible. I mean, what are we doing? I don't know. There were the shirts and slack combos yesterday was like 76 ish, right? I mean, and I'm not one of those guys that's like, ooh, I got to run out to the sporting goods store and get the gear. I mean, obviously they're going to send it to me for free because that's, you know, because I know Dan. But I'm looking at him yesterday and going, who would wear any of this? What are we doing? I thought it was, I mean, am I on an island here?
You can't wear taupe in November at Augusta. Taupe is not a golf color.
Right. I agree.
I'm with you.
I mean, even though you don't need azaleas to wear like a pink or a purple or something. Like, let's jazz it up, guys. It was drab. But you know what? I mean, let me tell you, Dan, the red was the color of the day on the leaderboard. I just turned it to Vanner All Right. I just went Vanner All Right on you.
Over looked the wall like in left field.
Looked like Christmas Day at Augusta. Red on the leaderboard and green all around Augusta. Love you, Van Earl.
Do you have to be careful in how you describe things at Augusta as opposed to any other golf tournament that you're involved in?
I think you govern yourself in the same way you do. I was not some rich kid growing up. I had friends that were wealthy, and when you went to their house, you just made sure not to do something stupid. That's all. You govern yourself the way you would when you go to a nice restaurant or somewhere that's nice. And like when we would cover the Open on ESPN, well, we called it the Open Championship because they did. And we would call the groups games because that's what they call them. Well, we call them patrons here in the first and second nine because that's the language they use here. And I get that people, you know, they want to roll their eyes and say, oh, you know, you're following this sense of, you know, you can't step out of line. No, I think you behave the way you do when you go a nice place. You don't want to be the guy that puts his feet on the couch.
I remember saying one time either a sand trap or a bunker, and I was corrected by somebody who sent me a letter, and you know, or whatever it was, a chip or something.
A pitcher chip.
Yeah, pitcher chip.
Listen, like golf guy or gal, golf person, they just get insufferable with that, and it's not necessary. If you get the – well, don't say he hit a birdie. Like, if you say that, that sort of nails on a chalkboard. But I don't think that's a mistake either of us would make. But, I mean, again, it's just – it's a special place, and I think it makes everybody feel a little different and probably be on their best behavior.
All right. No, you got to go. You're busy. You're important there. Thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend. Thank you, bud.
Always my pleasure. You guys be good until next time, okay?
That's Scott Van Pelt, host of SportsCenter. He hosts a SportsCenter called SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. What are the odds of that?
It was already named that.
Yes.
And he got the gig.
And they found somebody named Scott Van Pelt. Yes, McLovin.
Well, they did have a show called High Noon that wasn't at noon, so you never know what the mothership went to do.
It started at noon, and then I think it went to like 2 in the afternoon or something like that. Yeah, not quite the same High Noon when it's not at noon. But we have the Big Ten. And there aren't 10 schools in the Big Ten.
We had the Big East with schools from, like, Idaho.
You can't get pottery at Pottery Barn.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know. I haven't been in one in a while.
Well, I think they're all closing up.
Is that right?
I think. Is Pottery Barn in trouble?
Everything.
And it's not a barn.
I'm Bed Bath & Beyond upset about that.
Ooh, well.
Man, this is a perfect hour for the mustard versus mayo poll.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know how I get. When I get to Friday at final hour, I am punchy. I am punchy. Seton, how are you doing today? We got Seton on Zoom here joining us from his home. How are you
good.
Doing?
I'm hungry, though.
Yeah.
I am.
Boy.
And I'm actually semi-insulted for mustard that it's even being put in the same category as mayo, but that's another story.
Oh, really? For the French dip?
Mustard is just so far superior a condiment.
I agree. Maybe Fritzy can pack a sandwich and bring it to your house on his way home.
No, that's okay.
Oh, you don't want to see Todd?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yes, McLovin.
The poll results are surprisingly close.
Well, we just started it. Wait till they see when we take these sandwiches off the Traeger grill. Yes, Todd.
Doesn't matter, though, what you're putting it on, though. We can't make a blanket statement of mustard versus mayonnaise. Like, you mix mayo with tuna fish to give it a little flavor so it's not dry. You would never mix, really, tuna with mustard. Like a turkey.
Well, you don't make tuna salad with mustard.
But like a turkey sandwich, I guess that would be a good example of would you be more likely. And okay. Some people would even put ketchup on turkey.
No, they do. Ketchup on turkey?
Yes. I think some people would put ketchup like on chicken breast or turkey breast. There are people that do that.
Yes, Seton.
Just for the record, you absolutely can make tuna with mustard, and it's fantastic.
Oh.
It's phenomenal.
Mm. Yes, Paul.
Is mayonnaise a two-syllable or three-syllable word?
Mayonnaise.
Because Fritzy says it with three syllables.
I can't hear you, mayonnaise.
Officer and a gentleman. Thank you, Lou Gossett Jr. Yes, McLovin.
Are you guys familiar with Russian dressing or Thousand Island?
Like, yes, sort of and those are horrible.
But you add that to a turkey special with coleslaw
and ranch dressing.
But that's a hybrid of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise needs help.
Horrible.
But that's adding ketchup into the mix.
It's like when you go in for wings and they go, would you like blue cheese or ranch? And I go, how is ranch even in this conversation?
Let me ask you, hamburger. You can only put one, ketchup or mustard. What's your first go-to?
I'd probably do ketchup.
Probably?
What?
I don't get the mustard on a hamburger.
Was the question directed to me? Tom?
I remember when I was a kid, and I got a Happy Meal. We were like in Virginia somewhere or Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they put like ketchup and mustard on the hamburger when I was just used to only being ketchup in New York. And like,
did you freak out the way you did when you didn't get your onion bagel?
Yes. I was very upset with that, especially as a kid. You know, but I was also the kid that didn't like the skin on a hot dog. I had to have it peeled off boiled. Or I wouldn't eat it.
Did your mom peeled the skin off the hot dog for you?
It just happened a couple of years ago. We went to the house, we were having a barbecue, peeled the skin off the hot dog.
Does your wife do it now?
I've asked her to do plenty of things that she has no interest in doing.
That had
yes, she has.
I'm talking about dinner.
I was talking.
I know you're talking about.
I should have gone to break. All right, more phone calls coming up. I think we're going to hear from Reese Davis. College game day, went to Augusta, and I'm not sure what the game plan was or is, but we got no football in the SEC. It'll be a pretty interesting environment there, so we'll talk to Reese about that. 20 after the hour here, this is, I think, the Dan Patrick Show. Can't say enough about Masterclass, because if you've ever, and I do this all the time, like I want to learn about certain things, and it might be comedy. Steve Martin has a Masterclass in teaching you about comedy. Shonda Rhimes, who's one of the great TV executives, writer, producer, and you can learn from her. And this is what Masterclass is all about. Now, there's also Steph Curry teaching you about basketball or Serena Williams teaching you about tennis. Over 90 classes from a wide range of world-class instructors, and they bring you closer to understanding what this is all about. Now, there's usually about 20 lessons per class, and they last about 10 minutes per lesson. And you go at your own pace. You can listen in on the lessons, watch the lessons available anywhere, anytime, your phone, computer, tablet, smart TV. Each class is supported by downloadable materials, workbooks, exercises, recipes, and more. They've really thought of everything. This is something they also thought of. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, you get another annual membership for free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick, get an annual membership, and then you can give that other membership to somebody. It's absolutely free. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Little business to take care of before we get to Reese Davis of the Mothership. The Dan Patrick Show calendar is going to be available. Go to the website, danpatrick.com, and there's a specific date, I think it's December 18th, to order to make sure you get it in time for Christmas. Have to order it by then. All right, so there's limited. We had about 3,000, I think, maybe more that we sold last year, but make sure you order early. But go to danpatrick.com and send in your Christmas ornaments as well. Mario will be taking care of that along with Marvin, and send those in. We have the address there to send those to the Man Cave. College game day is set to originate from the Masters tournament. That'll be tomorrow. And who would have thought? The host is Reese Davis, joined by Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, David Pollack. And the Bear, Chris Felica, will be there. Maria Taylor is going to be there. Tom Rinaldi is going to bring his piano down there and probably have a heartwarming story as well. But I bring in the great Reese Davis, who joins us his sixth year as ESPN College Game Day host. And the hair looks great, Reese. Well done. Well done. Well done.
Doing the best I can. Is there a friends and family discount on the Dan Patrick calendar if I want to order one of those or not?
I don't think you want it. I don't think you want to be involved in this. Like, you're above this. You're better than this. I do have a public apology. For years, I thought Reese Davis went to Arkansas. I thought you went to Arkansas, and I don't know why I thought that. All those years at ESPN, I thought you always talked about Arkansas for some reason.
See, I keep it on the low a little bit. That's the best compliment I can get is when people don't know that I went to Alabama instead. But I get, you know what I get a lot, Dan, is from Alabama people, you don't represent the way other guys do.
Well, Herbstreit got that with Ohio State. Like, you don't say enough nice things about Ohio State.
Yeah, exactly.
You're never going to satisfy him. All right, tell me how the idea came to fruition that College Game Day was going to go to Augusta.
When the tournament was moved in November, and we always look for opportunities to take the show to places where we haven't been, and the people at Augusta National were very receptive to the idea. And it got floated out really in the summer once we found out that we were going to be able to have a show and that there was going to be a college football season. And League Fitting and a few others asked us, what do you think about this idea? And we all loved the idea. And I think there's an intersection between golf and college football. There are a lot of a lot of college coaches that just can't wait to get the opportunity to play the course. In fact, the one time that I was fortunate enough to be a guest of Lou Holtz, it seemed like it was a whole college football coaches convention there that weekend. So I think there's a normal and a crossover that sort of resonates with people, and it's an opportunity to do something that probably won't ever happen again, to be able to do a football show from the Masters in November.
Tricky, though, with players playing in the event. Will you have players who will join you on set?
We're attempting that right now, or if not on set because of some COVID-19 protocol, sanitizing, things like that, at least to have interviews with them. And we have, as you mentioned, Tom Rinaldi, G. Mojahowski, both on the course who would be able to do some of those for us. So we're making as many connections as we possibly can, and we're hopeful that we'll have several guys over the course of the 3 hours Saturday morning join us for the show.
I talked to Van Pelt about 20 minutes ago. There are certain players who feed off that atmosphere, and I'm imagining it's the same thing with you in College Game Day, the atmosphere, and not having, you don't have patrons that show up for College Game Day, but the crowd that shows up there, how much of that, you know, do you realize is integral with having a great show?
It's something that we've had to get used to all season, Dan, because we haven't had anybody there this year. And I think the one thing you miss is the instantaneous feedback from when you say something that the crowd either likes or doesn't like. That has been missing. I don't feel as if the discussions have been any less energetic or anything once we dive into football. But going up to the set, leading up to the show, that type of feedback, the boos, you know, when you say something nice about the team you're playing, all that's missing. So there is a little bit of that energy that's gone. So we've become accustomed to it over the course of the season, not having anybody there watching the show. So that part won't be different. The one question I did ask was immediately was, are we going to have to watch our volume level when we're speaking on Saturday morning? And our set position is on the par three course. And it's my understanding that we're in the clear. We're not really yellers and screamers anyway, but that we're going to have enough physical distance between us and where the golf is going on, that we'll be okay.
Do you have a golf voice?
I can work on one. Here's Dan Patrick on 17.
I was wondering if Coach Corso picks who's going to win the Masters instead of who's going to, you know, his pick for whatever game you guys have.
That will happen. Now, whether there is a headgear representing that player, I don't know. That has happened before in the NFL draft. You picked the number one overall pick and has had heads ready, likenesses of those players. So that is possible. I do not know if that will be a surprise on Saturday morning.
It feels like college football is holding its breath. You know, we just have to get through this. I think a lot of this is based off of Halloween and, you know, students get together and you got all these positives. The SEC kind of wiped out this weekend. But as we move forward, how do you see this play out, Reese?
I think we will get to the finish line, Dan. And I'm glad to see that Bob Bowlesby said that there is some flexibility at least being considered. I know that they do not want to push back the New Year's Six games in the college football playoff semifinals and the championship, nor should they. That should be a last resort because you want to try to get to the finish line as efficiently as possible. But I'm glad that they're not being so bound by dates that they aren't willing to adjust, because nobody's been through these circumstances. It looked as if things were getting a little better, and then you've had the uptick in the cases. And as big a problem for the teams as the actual positive cases themselves has been the contact tracing. You've had a couple of schools that couldn't play this week, and it wasn't because they had a number of guys who were positive. It's because they had too many guys in a certain position group who had been in contact with someone who tested positive. So that aspect of it creates some challenges, and it's been implemented to try to keep as many of the players safe as possible. But it has created some issues in terms of having teams being able to play by being able to field enough alignment or whatever it might be.
But could you see them pushing back the date for the college playoff selection committee? Therefore, it might allow Ohio State or some of these other schools, Pac-12, to be able to play a couple of more games, to be fair to them, since there's no 18 playoff here.
I don't know that they would push back the initial rankings because they've already done so. It's already pretty late, and I think you'll have a fairly decent sample size, assuming that Ohio State can resume action for them particularly, maybe not quite as much for the Pac-12 schools. I would think that you'd almost have to get to a situation where it stopped for them to push it back further. Now, they might move the games. They might push back the date of the final selection if it were necessary to do so. They would probably keep everything in alignment, if you follow what I mean. If you had to push the semifinals back, it would then stand to reason that you probably were also pushing back the final games and therefore the final selections. I think the fervent hope is that they don't have to do any of this, but that they're showing a willingness to at least evaluate it if it's necessary.
He's Reese Davis of the Mothership, ESPN play-by-play, but more importantly, ESPN College Game Day host. Did they already come out with the Masters version of ESPN College Game Day? Is that what you have on?
It's this was I do have something similar. It's from a very good friend of mine from St. Andrew's Products, just north of South Bend. So he came up with a little something. I think he has an arrangement with the good people at Augusta National and others that that provided a polo for this weekend.
So that's contraband, is what you're saying, Reese?
I don't know the answer to that. I actually don't know the answer to that. I certainly hope not.
Okay, will you have everybody on set dress accordingly as if they were patrons there? Will you have some plaid? Will you have some nice colors there?
I tried to choose conservatively and wisely and appropriate for the moment. Now, I can't guarantee you what Rinaldi's going to do. And Herb Street, ooh, surprisingly, has been known to go with a little volume on the jacket. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little something out of him.
Do you guys get to play?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even the par three?
That I don't know. Now, I don't know if they'll let us take a couple of swings on the par three, but I don't think anyone's played since we've been here.
By the way, how many times do you think over the years, your 6 years, have you cried after a Tom Rinaldi piece?
Ooh, I'm going to say over under, set at 3.5, probably something like that. But you got, Dan, I'm a softie now. I can cry at a sentimental moment between a dad and a daughter at a sitcom. So I'm an easy target for that. So I get touched pretty easily.
Yeah, when Rinaldi rolls it out, and people don't know, but Rinaldi brings his own piano. He plays his own piano. He provides his own theme music. And whenever he starts to dial it up and that voice gets a little whispery, and somebody's lost a limb somewhere. That's all I know, Reese. Remember, it's patrons, okay?
Yes.
All right. Do you have the terminology down? You okay with the jargon list here?
I do. I don't know if you can see this. I've got an entire list. Now, you can't have the phones there, as you know, but I have studied to make sure, and I was fairly good on it to begin with, but I do want to be, I want to be a good guest. They've been great hosts, so I want to be a guest, a proper guest, and say things the way they would like them to be said.
It's great to see you, and
likewise.
My best to the boys. Have fun. We'll be watching coming up tomorrow morning. Thank you, Reese.
All right, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
He's Alabama, not Arkansas, Reese Davis, as ESPN College Game Day host. How much fun is that going to be? I got to caddy in the par three tournament with Who was I caddying for? Peter Jacobson. And he just said, hey, do you want to caddy for me? And I go, okay. Like, how difficult could that be? Well, he had a bag that I put it on my shoulder. And these are big bags that they're carrying around because they're playing in the tournament. At what point on one of the holes, the bag was off balance. I spilled every one of his clubs out. And
and
he was seriously PO'd at me. But then he realized everybody's watching and it's the par three and they thought that I did it on purpose and everybody's laughing. And I realized that Peter was not happy at all. And I'm stuffing his clubs back in his bag. And you can just see him like going, those are my clubs I'm using here. Yes, see.
Other than sort of the embarrassment of such a goofy act, what would be the horrible foul that you've committed that he would be so upset with you?
Well, you have them clank and they're all, you know, you might chip one, put a dent in one, you might bend one, like who knows? But I caused a scene is what I did. The next hole, now we're playing with Fred Couples and the late Payne Stewart. And, you know, it's packed. It's the par three, you know, people are 15 deep. And we get to one of the holes and Jacobson goes, what would you hit here? I said, I'd probably hit a sandwich. He goes, all right, get it. So I got the sandwich. He goes, no, hit it. I go, no, I'm not swinging. He goes, no, you guys talk about how easy it looks on TV. Go ahead. And I hit the sandwich and put it up on the top of the green and my heart's racing. And I get up there and then Jake goes, What way do you think it breaks? I go, I have no clue. He goes, all right, go putt it. I go, I don't want to putt it. And then Payne Stewart was like going, oh, yeah, you talk. Come on, let's see what you, like he's goading me on. And so I cozied it up there and made the par putt. And I don't know if I've been more nervous because they think that you're good when you're swinging the club. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful atmosphere there. And to play with Freddie and Payne Stewart as well. And Peter Jacobson has been a friend for probably 35 years. Yeah, Paul.
And I got a little Master surprise for you. Do you want it now or after the break?
I want to take a break because the French dip is ready in about a minute from now. And I'm going to savor every bite because Seton's not here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enjoy the French dip a little bit more for you, Seton.
Well, much better company.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good. So, enjoy it.
Yes. And, you know, with this being golf, this is the Jean Vandeveld of French dips. And we look forward to having it.
And it's going
to
go in, it's going to be dunked in.
It's going to go in the water.
Yeah.
It's going to be dunked in the au jus a couple times. We'll take a break. Close it up after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Close out the show as we always do with a dedication courtesy of Arcade Fire. This goes out to Jeannie Trebek, the wife of Alex Trebek. We lost him earlier this week. Great man. Great man. It's weird. I went through my phone last week and I noticed that I have messages there from my mom before she passed away. I just kept them. There's certain voice messages that I've kept. And I had a voice message from Alex Trebek that sounds like Alex Trebek when he's on the show on Jeopardy. And he's like, Dan, Alex Trebek. Like, he's not, hey, it's Alex. It's just Dan, Alex Trebek. And that was when he was setting up a time and a place where we were going to go to dinner in Los Angeles. Miami Marlins have a new general manager, Kim Ainge. She has worked with teams who have made the playoffs 8 times, won 3 World Series titles, and I don't know who she worked for. This is all I have here, McLovin, on that, the new GM of the Miami Marlins.
Yes, so she's a longtime baseball executive. I'll find out what teams, but I think she's the first woman general manager. Okay, she was with the Yankees, notably, in 98 to 2001, then the Dodgers from 2002 to 2011, and then she's been at MLB as a senior vice president. So she's...
That's groundbreaking.
A lot of high roles.
Yeah, that's big stuff.
Jeter hired her.
And the Marlins coming off a playoff appearance here.
Mattingly was manager of the year, by the way.
Yes, he was. I was happy for him. Paulie says that there's a Masters surprise for me.
Yeah, Dan, you know, usually we have Jim Nantz on Masters Week. He was not available to do it, so we didn't have the Jim Nantz satellite contest. But some people, unprovoked, sent theirs in, such as Ryan in Connecticut.
Okay.
Ryan and Connect.
From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, CBS Sports proudly presents the Masters. Well, hello, friends. It is an unusual time for this tournament. No azaleas in sight. I can see Dottie Pepper's antenna through the trees on 13. There's no fans. You can even hear Bryson DeChambeau's blender if you try. Tiger Woods defend his title, we will see. Welcome to the Masters, a tradition unlike any
now,
other.
This is my surprise?
I didn't say it was a good surprise.
Oh, okay,
I just said
okay.
You didn't know it was coming.
Okay.
All right. I'll give you one more.
Okay, give me one more.
One of our greats from history, James Lowe from California.
Oh,
I think he's a 2-time winner.
Yeah, James is great.
What a day. On behalf of all of us at CBS, I'd like to congratulate Tiger Woods on his 2019 Masters Championship.
And cut.
Phew. Oh, we did it. Faldo, grab my steak. Bottle of the calling wine, too, please. Folks, another Masters broadcast. Did not say one curse word. Didn't say red. Cue the music.
Didn't he have something about Dottie Pepper? Like he was trying to enunciate. You know, you get your vocal cords worked up, and you go Dottie Pepper,
Charles Schwartzel,
Bryson DeChambeau. Final results of the poll question. What do you have for me?
Oh, I left up the Philip Rivers. Oh, no, sorry. We went to mustard versus mayo. It was 52% mustard.
Okay.
I can't believe it.
All right. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
1991, Roger Clemens won his third Cy Young for the American League. Mm. And 1995, this one's especially painful for me as a Cubs fan, Greg Maddux became the first pitcher to win four consecutive Cy Young awards.
Mm. Okay. Sam in St. Louis. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dan, happy Meat Friday, 5-11-204. Yeah, I was calling to see if you guys saw the recent trailer to the Tiger Woods documentary by HBO. It looks like they're going to get into his personal life, his upbringing by his father. So, yeah, I was going to see if you guys saw
I had not. Yeah, I had not. But I think if you're going to do a documentary, you know, how much do you allow them in? And is Tiger cooperating? Because, I mean, there's certain things that Michael Jordan allowed and did not allow, but he was, you know, one of the executive producers there. Is Tiger involved in this? How involved is he in this? Let me see. How about Ed in San Antonio? Hi, Ed.
Hey, boys. How are y'all this morning?
Great, Ed.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Texas is a mustard state. Let's not confuse that.
All right.
So anyway, I was giving y'all a little hard on Philip this morning. You know, he passed Dan Marino in yardage last night, and also he passed him in kids. He has 9 kids versus 5 biological and 2 adopted for Marino. So there you go.
All right.
That puts him, in my book, that's in the first ballot Planned Parenthood Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, thank you, Ed. Ed waited a long time for those punchlines. Yeah, passing Dan Marino, come on. You can play long enough and pass him. That doesn't make you better than Dan Marino. But Philip Rivers had a very good career, and I still go back to it's amazing that he has not missed a game in, what, 16 years in the NFL. He's been sacked over 400 times. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, McLovin?
Yeah, I guess it's okay to be a statue in the pocket in a way. It's probably safer.
Let's go around the room what we learned on this award-nominated program. Todd?
Scott Van Pelt says you can keep your mustard and mayo. He'll take some ranch dressing. Thank you.
Mm. McLovin?
Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus says Dalvin Cook is the best running back in the league.
Yeah. Well, he is right now. Seton O'Connor, who didn't get to take part in the French dip.
Yeah, SVP, hardcore ranch guy.
Paulie, what did you learn?
Fritzy's about to eat a Mountain Dew pie.
Yeah, we have a Mountain Dew pie for dessert.
A nice little dessert there. Ton.
What did I learn today?
Paulie is disappointed by the lack of foliage and white pants that this November Masters.
Yeah, well, there's always this weekend. What we learned brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, you get another annual membership for free. Just go to masterclass.com/Patrick. That's masterclass.com/Patrick. Thank you again to this audience. Those watching, those listening, very loyal, and we appreciate that. Have a great weekend, safe weekend. Talk to you on Monday here on The Dan Patrick Show.